brought to you by Penguin.
The Modern Midwife's Guide to Pregnancy, Birth and Beyond. How to have a healthier pregnancy, easier birth and smoother postnatal period. By Marie Louise. Read by Marie Louise. Introduction. As a midwife, I get asked a lot of questions. Sometimes questions can be answered easily, but often I feel as though we just don't have enough time to really explain everything properly. I hope this book will fill in those gaps and provide the key information you really need to know about all the common questions that are on most pregnant women's minds. It will also help you go into your midwife appointments feeling like you know what to expect. My aim is to help you understand and manage each stage of your transition into mumhood so that you can make informed choices every step of the way, understand what's happening in your body, be in control and feel powerful. I want to share with you the most important and amazing things I've learned during my time as a midwife. Having a baby is hands down one of the biggest events that will ever happen in your life. It probably feels as though there's so much you need to know, so many changes going on, and so much to plan for and consider. At times, knowing what's right for you and your baby, planning your birth, and becoming someone's mum can all be very overwhelming. Know that this is totally normal. One of the biggest problems for the modern mum is not the scarcity of information, but actually an information overload. And much of the information we are exposed to, particularly in the media, is not always reliable. The information in this book is based on the latest research and evidence, real mum stories, and my years of experience as a midwife working with hundreds of women throughout their pregnancy and birth journeys. Modern mums are faced with an overwhelming amount of options, opinions, and advice, and are asked to make a lot of complex decisions. It can be hard to take it all in and process it. But really, there's no rush. Take your time. Read about what you need or want to know in this book when the time feels right for you. Understanding what really goes on in pregnancy, birth, and in those early days as a new mum makes a big difference to how you feel about it. Knowledge is power, after all. How you give birth matters, and planning for your time as a postnatal woman will change your entire experience of it. Most people's version of birth is what they see in films and on TV, which generally looks something like this. A woman lying on her back under bright lights screaming. A doctor delivers the baby. She stops screaming and holds the baby, wrapped in a towel. Everyone smiles. Birth doesn't usually look like that. We need to create a more realistic and positive view of birth. I hope that the Modern Midwife's Guide peels back the layers to help you easily navigate pregnancy, birth, and your postnatal period. My background. As a child, I can remember meeting my siblings for the first time and thinking my mum had this superpower. She could grow people. As I got older and learned that pregnancy is something women have been doing for millennia, I was shocked that this wasn't something I was taught properly about in school. A human can grow another human inside them with no instruction. The body just does this on its own. I was mind blown by how the heart, brain, and genitals just appear and know what they're meant to do. I once asked my science teacher, "Isn't that like leaving a load of ingredients in the kitchen and coming home to a baked cake that can take itself out of the oven?" My parents and teachers assumed I'd be a teen mum, but I didn't want a baby right then myself. I just had to know more about how humans grow humans. At one point in my teenage years, I felt like I was the only person to have all these questions about how we are all here, until I found midwifery. It was only then that my fascination with pregnancy and birth was satisfied through learning. But I have to admit, I'm still disappointed by the serious lack of education surrounding women's health, periods, pregnancy, birth, and the postnatal period. This lack of basic yet revolutionary education can lead to women being concerned about things that are normal and ignoring things that are abnormal. It's vital we all address this with the seriousness it deserves and start talking educating and sharing information about women's health. After listening to this book, I hope you feel how I felt the day I became a midwife, equipped, still ready to learn, yet also excited about this whole new section in your life. I want to share with you the most up-to-date evidence and accurate information and hope to give you a few moments of, ah, that makes so much sense, and get excited. You may know me from Instagram or the Modern Midwives or Modern Mums meetups. I wanted to create a community and network for both midwives and mothers on and offline. I use these platforms for midwives to find like-minded birth experts and for mums to share their stories and talk openly to other mums. As much as I love the digital world and how far you can reach people, nothing really beats communication and face-to-face interaction. So I decided to launch meetup events around the UK. The Modern Midwives Meetup launched in February 2019 and has quickly grown into a much bigger national event that I didn't plan for, but I'm grateful to have the opportunity to bring so many birth experts together and talk honestly to improve our practice and therefore the care women receive. I also thought it was important to bring mums together so they can create their own tribe and build friendships. Loss of identity and loneliness are two common problems new mums face, and finding other new mums that share these problems helps to solve them. I often tag mums in my Instagram Sunday birth stories, and mums then talk directly to each other and follow each other after seeing that someone had a similar birth or problem to them. We can all learn from and look after each other. How to use this book. To keep it simple, I have separated the book into three parts. You're pregnant, now what? Your positive birth, becoming mum. At the end of each section, I've listed the key points to help summarise the information for you. This will also help to easily identify what each section is about, so you can dip in and out as you need and go to the sections that are most relevant to you at each stage of your pregnancy. Part 1. You're pregnant. Now what? Pregnant. That one little word that changes your world. Regardless of whether your pregnancy is planned, the unexpected result of one night, or you have had fertility treatment, most women are in shock the moment they find out that they are having a baby. Oh my God, there's a baby in there. I'm pregnant. Am I really pregnant? You may find yourself feeling confused. Maybe you didn't want to be in this position, or maybe you did, but now you're not so sure. Maybe you've been trying for such a long time, it seems unreal now that it's actually happened. Or maybe you've started to worry about the fact you got drunk a couple of days ago, or that you ate something that isn't recommended in pregnancy. Stop. Don't beat yourself up. There's nothing you can do about that now. So stop worrying. Millions of healthy babies have been born under exactly these circumstances. Relax and take a breath while you get your head around your news. No doubt soon, though, you'll start to wonder, what do I need to do now? And if you haven't already, you'll begin wondering if the symptoms you're experiencing are normal. So we'll start this section by running through the things you need to know in the first instance. Don't worry about the rest for now. There's plenty of time for that. I'll share some handy tips and some fascinating facts about your pregnancy. Then we'll move on to the common concerns most women have during their pregnancy. Always check with your midwife or GP. The following information should not be treated as a diagnostic tool. Instead, consider it more of a what to expect guide. Any symptoms or concerns that you have should always be checked by your midwife or GP. The first thing to do. There's something you need to do as soon as you find out you are pregnant. It's not normally spoken about at your first medical appointment, and healthcare professionals sometimes forget to tell you to do this. Draw an imaginary circle around yourself and promise now to protect, nourish, and look after yourself. This is your sacred circle. As hippy-dippy as that sounds, it is honestly one of the best things you can do. If you've ever been meaning to start that yoga class, which will now be yoga for pregnancy class, spend a little more time on self-care, meditate, or do more of the things that actually make you happy, now is the time to start. I'm not saying this because I'm a millennial jumping on the self-care bandwagon. I'm saying this because, as a midwife, I know just how much of an impact pregnancy has on the mind, body, and relationships. Pregnancy is such a unique time in your life. It is important to give yourself a lot of regard for what your body is doing. Your baby receives cues from you about the outside world and starts to develop their own body and nervous system in response to those cues. We'll go into some more detail about this later on, but for now, you, your body, and your mind need to come before anything else. It's not easy when you're working, have projects on the go, and a social life, but as my nan used to say, if you look after the corners, my darling, the middle will look after itself. Wise old words. That said, I know how those first few weeks can feel a little stressful and overwhelming at times. Don't worry, these are perfectly normal reactions and you won't be doing your baby any harm. Just aim to relax and look after yourself as much as you can. Booking appointment. The next thing you need to do is arrange your booking appointment. This is the term we use for the first time you meet your midwife, and it will last for around an hour. You can usually self-refer online these days by using the postcode tool Find Maternity Services. But traditionally, women book through their GP, and you can still choose this option if you like. Ideally, you want to be around 8 to 10 weeks pregnant at your first appointment, but it's not a problem if you're further along in your pregnancy. You'll be offered the routine antenatal care, and further input from other specialists may be recommended, depending on your personal circumstances. We'll cover this fully in You're a Parent, Not a Patient, later on. Once you're booked, you'll be monitored and supported throughout your pregnancy, labour, and birth, and the postnatal period. While you are in a system, you are not just a number. You are an individual, and you are unique. You're about to embark on the most exciting and incredible journey of your life. As a pregnant woman, you need to be empowered with confidence and self-belief, as well as up-to-date knowledge to help you make informed choices. Medication. The other important thing to do at this stage, if you are taking any medication which you think would not be advised in pregnancy, check with your GP as soon as possible. You can also check BUMP's website, Best Use of Medicines in Pregnancy. They have a brilliant FAQ section that you may find really useful. Finally, make sure you are taking 400 micrograms of folic acid supplement or the active form, methylfolate. For now, those are the only immediate things you need to do. The normal stuff that happens to your body and how to deal with it. The human body is one of the most complex organisms on the planet. During pregnancy, your entire body is affected. It's amazing to think that there are about 7 billion people on the planet, and although we are all unique, the way we are grown is the same. To make room for your growing baby, your internal organs need to move and adapt. For example, your stomach, intestines, and kidneys will all need to share space with their new neighbours, your baby and placenta. New hormones quickly appear on the scene, causing changes that can feel a bit chaotic to you. It may not feel like it right now, but I promise, the hormones know what they're doing. They're preparing your body to create the best nest ever. Without your conscious control, your hormones have got to work growing your placenta, increasing your flexibility to prepare for birth, and stopping your periods. You don't need those right now. You're probably starting to get the picture, and we haven't really scraped the surface yet, that it's totally understandable if you're feeling anything from slightly out of sorts to fully derailed. I have the thickest book ever that runs through each physiological change that occurs during pregnancy, and honestly, it's like reading a science fiction book. It is surreal what your body is doing. Welcome to the first trimester. We talk about three trimesters during pregnancy. The first trimester takes you up to 12 weeks, the second trimester is from 13 to 27 weeks, and the third trimester from 28 to 42 weeks. In this section, we will focus on the most common concerns that women have in each trimester. Finding out you're pregnant can be exciting, but you can also have mixed feelings and/or feel worried and nervous. More than 1 in 10 women feel anxious during pregnancy. The cocktail of hormones now pumping through your body may have some effect on your mood. It's easy to blow things out of proportion, especially if you're feeling physically and emotionally tired. If you feel overwhelmed or feel anxious daily, don't bottle it up. Talk to someone you trust, whether it's your partner, midwife, or GP. It may also be a good time to start learning and practicing yoga breathing techniques to help you relax. The more you practice these techniques, the easier and more effective they become. This will give you a tool to help you to manage stress or anxiety, as well as prepare you for labour and birth. It will be time and effort well invested. Morning sickness. Why it's called morning sickness, I don't know. Well, I do, as it is more common in the morning, but for many of you, it can go on all day. It is often worse first thing in the morning because you've not eaten all night and your blood sugar level has dropped. On a positive note, the hormone HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, that confirms your pregnancy in a urine test, is mainly responsible for making you feel sick. Higher levels are actually a sign of a healthy pregnancy. Knowing this may not make you feel better, but it may make the sickness feel worth it. That's not to say if you don't feel sick, something is wrong. Generally, this means you've just got away with it. Morning sickness is so common, it affects up to 80% of women and can vary in severity from mildly queasy to full-on vomiting. As morning sickness is so common, the effects of how the nausea and tiredness makes you feel can be dismissed by people around you. It's bloody miserable, I know. Not only that, it's a right nuisance if you've decided not to tell your colleagues you're pregnant, but have to swiftly go to the loo or try to pull off the peaky look. If you're really struggling with keeping the secret and the vomit down, give yourself permission to take a day off and call in sick. Remember your sacred circle. If you can't keep anything down, you need to see your GP, as you might have a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum. Hyperemesis gravidarum can usually be treated with anti-sickness drugs prescribed by your GP. But if it gets out of hand, you can become dehydrated and malnourished. For this reason, you will probably need an admission to hospital for a fluid drip and possibly some vitamins. This affects less than 1% of women, though. The good news is, if you've got nausea and some vomiting, it usually self-resolves by 16 weeks, although some women can get it for up to 20 weeks. That might feel like a lifetime away if you're 10 weeks. So here's some suggestions to help you self-manage until it has subsided. Rub fresh lemon peel on your hands, as the citrus aroma can really help ward off nausea, especially if other smells set you off. Ginger is an age-old natural anti-sickness remedy and is still popular today around the world. Leave a pack of natural ginger biscuits by your bed and nibble on them first thing in the morning to increase your blood sugar levels. Also try fresh ginger tea first thing. If you don't like ginger, try any plain biscuits by the bed and chamomile tea instead. Eat little and often. You might not be able to manage full meals, so stock up on snacks like nuts, dried fruit, oat cakes, and fresh fruit. Peppermint tea can help to settle your stomach after eating too. If you can manage a meal, carbs and starchy foods can help. A plain jacket potato or plain pasta can be easy to eat. Fruit and veg smoothies quickly whizzed up in a blender can also help you to get the nutrition you need if you can't stomach the thought of eating vegetables. This is very common. Sip water throughout the day. Some women say even water tastes weird or metallic. A slice of lemon, cucumber, or orange in your water bottle can vary the taste. Try a wrist acupressure band. Many women I've looked after swear by them. Fresh air can really help. Simply open the window first thing in the morning and take some slow, nice, deep breaths. Some women say having someone else prepare their food makes it easier to eat. Try to identify triggers. This is usually a smell or even certain colours can set it off. Then it's easier to avoid them. If you have been vomiting, some women like to keep a bag in their handbag so they don't feel stressed about feeling sick in public. Dog poo bags work well. Having a sick bag can make you feel less worried about it and hopefully reduce your stress. Keeping your blood sugar levels up is one of the best defences. Low blood sugar leads to nausea, which leads to vomiting. Vomiting and your teeth. Although I'm really interested in oral health, I'm not an expert, so I spoke to Gemma Hunter, an NHS family dentist and clinical teacher in paediatric dentistry. She runs an Instagram account, @themummydentist, and promotes accessible oral health advice for mums and babies. Here's what she told me. If you're frequently being sick, it can leave an unpleasant taste in your mouth and can potentially damage your teeth due to the acidity. Repeated acid attacks may cause erosion of the surface enamel. Surprisingly, it is not a good idea to brush your teeth straight after vomiting, as the oral environment takes at least 30 minutes to recover to a neutral state. If you brush immediately after vomiting, you'll be rubbing acid into your teeth. But you can try these options to get rid of that icky taste and help your mouth stabilise after sickness. Ideally, rinse your mouth out with an alcohol-free, fluoridated mouthwash. If you can't tolerate mouthwash, then rinse with plain tap water. Use a small dab of toothpaste on your finger and gently smear it over your teeth to get the fresh, minty taste without brushing. Gag reflex. During pregnancy, some women develop a heightened gag reflex, and you may find yourself retching when you're trying to brush your teeth, particularly the upper back molars. Of course, you still need to brush your teeth, so try using a toothbrush with a small head. A children's brush will do. A single tough toothbrush can be better for reaching around the back teeth. Some people find brushing with warm water helps. Take your time. Slow down the brushing action and concentrate on your breathing. Try other distractions, such as tapping your feet or listening to music. Exhaustion. When it comes to coping with exhaustion in the first trimester, remember your sacred circle once again. Try and stay as firmly inside it as possible. Although there will be some things that you have to do, anything else can wait or be cancelled. Don't feel bad about doing this. If you need to take a nap, order takeout, or eat chips in bed until midday on the weekend, then do it. Lots of women feel the glow in the second trimester. It's coming. So just take the time out that you need to right now. You'll soon start to feel less exhausted. It's not surprising that you feel exhausted in your first trimester. Not only is your body growing a baby, you're also growing a whole other organ too, the placenta. By around 12 weeks, the placenta has started to function and it takes over the production of hormones needed for pregnancy. During pregnancy, we focus on growing a baby, but sometimes forget about one of the most complex and important organs known to the human race. Your placenta acts as your baby's heart, lungs, liver, temperature regulation, and so much more. The placenta contains supply lines connecting all of this, technical term is villi, stretching to around 30 miles. And this all has to grow in the first trimester. Approximately 20% of your blood volume travels to your baby through your placenta. This is also why you are so exhausted. Your body is starting to supply a significant amount of blood to a brand new growing organ. Once established, your placenta fights off and eliminates pathogens, unwanted intruders, and allows your antibodies to pass through into your baby, building your baby's immune system. The placenta also has the ability to release some of your baby's cells into your body in the event that you need to repair any damage to your organs. These cells can stay in your body for decades. This process is called fetal microcurism. Another sci-fi-like fact that fascinated me was finding out that placental cells can be rather cunning, as they disguise themselves as uterine cells in order to trick your uterus so that the placenta can embed itself deep into it and grow your baby. If we knew more about the placenta, we would know more about organ transplants. Because your placenta is part you and part your baby, yet your body doesn't reject it. Such a clever organ. No wonder you feel tired. Bleeding and spotting. Approximately 20 to 25% of women experience bleeding or spotting in pregnancy. I have had many tearful phone calls from women thinking the worst. Up to a quarter of women is a lot, so as scary as it can be, try not to panic. Many women also bleed later on in pregnancy. If that does happen, it can be for a number of reasons, some more concerning than others. However far along you are, you just need to call your midwife or doctor and let them know because you'll need to be checked over. If you have a negative blood group and bleed, you may be offered an injection called anti-D. This neutralizes any RhD-positive antigens that may have mixed with your blood, so your body won't produce antibodies. If you have a negative blood group, you could ask if the non-invasive prenatal testing is available to find out what blood group your baby is. Constipation. Your digestive system gets sluggish in pregnancy. It goes from a Mercedes on a motorway speed to coach up a hill. There is a reason for this. The gut slows down so your digestive tract can absorb more nutrients, which is great for a growing baby, but the side effects of this can be constipation and good old heartburn for you, which we'll come back to in a moment. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Constipation is horrible and can go from slightly uncomfortable to quite painful. In order to help your symptoms, you need to work with the new pace of your digestive system. Drink loads of water, 2 litres per day, and sip little and often throughout the day. This softens things and encourages regular movement. Eat slowly, little and often, and include plenty of whole grains, veggies, blueberries, beans, and add a few dates and figs and chia seeds to your diet. Listen to your body's cues and try to go as soon as your body is telling you to. I know this is a lot easier said than done sometimes, and you can't exactly say to your boss, "Sorry, but I need a poo before we start this meeting." Although I wish we were more open in our culture about this. If possible, go as soon as you can when you need to. That email can wait. Sore and swollen boobs. Sore and swollen boobs can be really uncomfortable in the first trimester. Women often tell me that even the pressure from the water while standing in the shower is too much. Your nipples can also get itchy and uncomfortable. This does get a lot better, and we will talk about managing your pregnancy boobs later on. But for now, wear loose clothing and a comfy bra. And swap showers for baths if you can, but don't make them too hot. You'll get hotter quicker in pregnancy, and a rise in core body temperature can be dehydrating and make you feel faint. Headaches are common in early pregnancy, and I reckon you can guess why. Yep, hormones. Keeping well hydrated really helps to prevent headaches, and paracetamol is thought to be safe to take in pregnancy. Headaches tend to occur less in the second trimester, but you need to let your midwife know if you continue to get them in the second and third trimester because they can be a sign of preeclampsia. The second and third trimester. Here are some of the concerns that women ask me about during their second and third trimester. Everyone is different, and women get symptoms at different stages, or you may escape them altogether. Dental do's and don'ts. During pregnancy and after birth, it's more important than ever to take care of your teeth, which is why dental care is free under the NHS for pregnant women. While it's not true that a baby steals calcium from your teeth, there are a range of oral conditions, such as inflamed or bleeding gums, that may affect mums-to-be. Book in with your local dentist for a checkup. I spoke to dentist Gemma Hunter to get some advice about why it is so important to look after your teeth during pregnancy. Here's what she told me. Maternal oral health is part of overall well-being. A baby's milk teeth start to form during the first trimester, and their adult teeth begin developing around birth. So taking care of yourself is beneficial to you and your growing bubba. It is super important to visit your dentist during pregnancy, even if you aren't suffering from the following symptoms or you haven't been for a while. We can provide routine checks, risk assessment, and appropriate advice. There are some aspects of dental care that may alter when you are expecting, such as types of fillings material or choosing to delay routine x-rays. We can still safely provide various treatment options, including if you have toothache and require emergency dental work. Your dental maternity exemption then lasts until your baby's first birthday, meaning you should also attend appointments after your baby arrives so we can assess for any further changes and complete treatment if required. We advise bringing babies along for their first checkup before they turn one, too. Time for an exciting little family trip to the dentist. Bleeding gums. This is perhaps one of the most common pregnancy-related dental issues that I get asked about. This is often related to your elevated hormone levels and the slight differences in your immune response whilst pregnant, as bleeding gums can be associated with various conditions like gum disease, infection, or inflammation. It's important to see your dentist so they can establish a diagnosis and devise a suitable treatment plan. What's that in my knickers? In traditional Chinese medicine, pregnancy is considered a damp condition. This is because the increased discharge from your vagina is a common and normal physiological change in pregnancy. The extra discharge is defending your baby and helps prevent any infections travelling from your vagina up to your uterus. However, if you get increased discharge with any itching, pain, a bad smell, or stinging, burning whilst peeing, you need to get it checked out as it could be a yeast infection, bacterial vaginosis, or a urinary tract infection. All are common in pregnancy and are easily treated. Talking of peeing in fluid, you'll need to pee a lot more often during pregnancy. As your baby grows, it presses on your bladder. Try not to let this put you off keeping well hydrated. You are more at risk of urine infections in pregnancy, and drinking plenty of water to flush out your bladder can really help. If you feel like you've leaked amniotic fluid rather than discharge, you need to contact your midwife as soon as possible, as there may be a chance that your waters have gone or broken. Depending on how pregnant you are, your midwife or doctor will make a plan with you about how to manage your waters going. Skin changes. Some women start to notice skin changes around the second trimester, but some don't have any changes at all until the third. Darkening of the skin is very common. This is due to the increase of melanocyte-stimulating hormone, MSH, and thought to help darken your nipples so that your baby is able to spot their feeding target better. Newborns have poor eyesight at birth. Some women get darker patches on the forehead or cheeks, which can kind of look like a butterfly effect. You may also notice a line down your stomach called the linea nigra, black line in Latin, which is also part of normal skin pigmentation changes. During pregnancy, it is important to make sure that you protect your skin from the sun as much as possible. Wear both a hat and natural sunscreen if you go out in stronger sun and if you go on a sunny holiday. The darkening of the skin usually subsides and returns to its normal colour about 6 weeks after birth, but in some women, the linea nigra is visible up to a year after birth. Whether yours goes or stays, it's good to use sunscreen postnatally because darkened skin patches may reappear in the sun. Hormonal contraceptives taken after birth may also create more darkening of the skin. The copper coil, also known as the intrauterine device, or IUD, is the only non-hormonal contraceptive available for women at the moment, should you need it. Stretch marks in pregnancy affect up to 80% of women and can appear in various areas of your body, from your tummy to your upper thighs, boobs, and even lower back. They usually start to appear or worsen as your pregnancy progresses because of the extra strain on the skin to provide more space. There are a lot of factors involved in why you may or may not get stretch marks, and genetics can really play a part in how your skin adapts and changes in pregnancy. You can't change your genetics, but what you can do is work with your body to help prevent them. Here are some top tips. Stay hydrated. Water helps skin cells maintain maximum elasticity and suppleness. Eat foods rich in vitamin E, zinc, and protein that help to repair tissue. For example, almonds, hemp seeds, chickpeas, and broccoli. Dry body brushing increases blood flow to the skin and is a good way to prepare the skin for moisturising. Use a brush designed for the skin and use firm but gentle upward strokes before a shower a few times a week. The brushes with longer wooden handles are easiest to use. Dry body brushing is more of a preventative measure and you should focus on your legs, upper thighs, bum, and arms. Moisturise. Body lotions generally have a high water content and lower oil content, whereas oils and balms have the highest oil content. Lotions are probably easier to use daily as they are absorbed quicker and won't leave marks on your clothes. Oils and balms are best in the evening as they can soak into the skin overnight and it won't matter too much if they get on your PJs. Rosehip oil is expensive, but it's good for scars and stretch mark prevention. If it's hard to reach some areas later on in pregnancy, try spraying on oil. You can put the oil of your choice in refill spray bottles. Or if you have a partner, ask them to massage it in for you. Even after doing all of these, you may still get stretch marks, and some women get quite upset about them. Please remember how normal and common it is. For years, women have felt they need to hide their very normal and beautiful postpartum bodies. But now there is a huge positive movement online, and it's about time, to help normalise the reality of women's bodies. Stretch marks are nothing to be ashamed of and are very normal for most women that have had babies. The problem is we have all been sold the wrong idea of what is normal. Hemorrhoids, piles. These irritating little things can be brought on due to the increased blood flow and gradually increasing weight of your baby putting pressure on your pelvic floor and back passage. You can help prevent hemorrhoids by eating a diet high in fibre. Going easily prevents you straining on the loo, which can make things worse. My friend cycles a lot, and she told me about a pre-cycle trick she uses so she doesn't have to worry about finding a loo out on a long bike ride. She drinks a pint of water, and an hour later she sits on the loo and gently rocks backwards and forwards. No straining, just rocking, and it makes her go. I haven't found any reliable medical research to support this, but there's no harm in water and gentle rocking. Why not try it? You can also buy hemorrhoid creams, but speak to a pharmacist first about what they recommend for pregnant women. Heartburn. As your baby grows, there's less room in your body for daily digestion. As previously mentioned, your gut has also slowed. You also have a ring of muscle, esophageal sphincter, that relaxes during pregnancy, which can allow acid to leak back up. This can all cause heartburn, which can be rather unpleasant. You can help reduce the acidity naturally with diet, as mentioned before. Try to eat little and often rather than bigger meals. Food containing high amounts of saturated fat are the most commonly reported triggers for heartburn, alongside spicy food and acidic drinks like orange juice. Be conscious of your position while eating too. Try to sit upright to take pressure off your stomach and avoid eating a meal less than 2 hours before bed. Some herbal teas may help, such as a ginger or chamomile. Gaviscon Original is safe to take in pregnancy, so if it's bothering you the most around bedtime, have a bottle at arm's reach so you can grab it without having to get up in the night. You can also request medication from your GP if it's severe and none of the previously mentioned has helped. Pregnancy boob job. Pregnancy gives most women a free boob enhancement. If you are already naturally well enhanced, you may find your boobs have become rather heavy. By late pregnancy, your bra size can go up by whopping 3 sizes. Some women love it and it makes them feel sexier than ever, and other women don't welcome the changes or find it uncomfortable. Either way, you do need to pay a little bit of attention to your new boobs. It's best to avoid underwire bras because they can dig into your boobs, pressing on tissue that needs to be freely able to adapt and can potentially block milk ducts. There are lots of maternity bras on the market and some are rather expensive. You don't necessarily need the most expensive one. Bear in mind that the boob changes will continue throughout your pregnancy, so you might need to buy a couple. Sometimes just a giving yet supportive sports bra can work well for the first few months. Depending on whether or not you breastfeed, changes to your boobs will continue on into breastfeeding and beyond. If you plan to breastfeed, consider getting a breastfeeding bra in late pregnancy. It is a good idea to get some practice using it because it can be really frustrating when your baby is crying and you need to feed, but you're fiddling around with the little clips trying to get it undone. Breastfeeding bras need to be non-wired, non-padded, adjustable, and with a drop-down cup. Quite a few shops do free bra fittings, so take advantage of this and make sure you get the best fitting bra for you. Dizziness. A lot of women feel slightly dizzy or faint during pregnancy, and there are a few different reasons why, such as a drop in blood pressure, hormones, being overheated, or anemia, low iron levels. If you are feeling dizzy, it is always worth mentioning to your midwife, as you can get a blood test to check what is going on. To help dizziness, get up slowly after sitting or lying down. As soon as you feel faint, sit down quickly. Avoid lying on your back. Stay hydrated and make sure you are drinking plenty of water. Feeling sweaty. Your body pumps more blood during pregnancy, up to 50% more. And the combination of that along with hormonal fluctuations can make you feel unbearably hot and sweaty. You might want to get a desk fan for work and for your bedroom. Try wearing layers of natural fibres such as cotton so you can easily take them on and off as the sweats come and go. If you can afford to, invest in some maternity clothes for maximum comfort throughout the second and third trimesters. The extra elastic and comfort does make a difference. There are some amazing second-hand clothes out there too, which is also an eco choice. Sleep struggles. Usually the struggle to get to sleep starts towards the end of the second and beginning of the third trimester. You need to do all you can to help your body switch off, relax, and sleep. The first thing to do is to try and avoid using your phone, iPad, laptops, etc., at least 1 hour before bed. The blue light coming from electrical devices can stimulate us and mess with our sleep rhythms, keeping us awake. Make sure your bedroom is designed for sleep. Make it as dark as possible and use blackout blinds or an eye mask if you are being woken by light coming in. Feeling hot during the night sometimes wakes women up too. Try making your room slightly cooler than usual. Open a window if you can, as this may help you sleep through the night, which is a major achievement in mid to late pregnancy. Try a simple bedtime routine to help your body and mind wind down, helping you get off to sleep. Try a bath with lavender oil in it, a simple breathing exercise, and listening to a hypnobirthing CD. Whatever you decide to include in your routine, be consistent with it. Eventually, your mind should get used to it, making sleep easier. Needing a wee is one of the most common reasons women either struggle to get off to sleep or wake up in the night. Keep well hydrated throughout the day, but try not to drink 2 hours before bedtime, especially diuretics, wee enhancers, like tea and coffee, even if they are decaf. The more liquid in, the more liquid out. On that note, avoid caffeine in the afternoon because it can stay in your system for 6 to 10 hours, depending on genetics and metabolism. So check the time before you opt for a coffee. Pregnancy pillows can help you feel comfortable and are worth investing in. There are plenty on the market, and if you choose a versatile one, it can come in handy for breastfeeding too. The press put out some lovely clickbait for pregnant women a little while ago about how the risk of stillbirth increases if you don't sleep on your left. I had women setting alarms throughout the night to make sure they were sleeping on their left. Although it is true it's best to sleep on your left side because the blood flows easier that way, your right is fine if it's more comfortable. Avoid sleeping on your back as this can restrict blood flow to you and your baby. If you wake up on your back, don't panic, just roll over onto your side again. Some women have weird or vivid dreams. This is due to hormonal changes and your emotional processing. You and your body are going through a lot of changes, and sometimes it's reflected in your dreams. No matter how weird and wonderful they are, don't worry. It's your mind's way of coping with your thoughts throughout the day, and dreaming about an ex doesn't mean you still have feelings for them. Insomnia. We'll go on to talk more about brain changes in a minute, but towards the end of pregnancy, you're in a heightened state of awareness, and this can also affect your sleep patterns. In late pregnancy, you may well find yourself feeling fidgety with expectation, impatience, and frustration at feeling uncomfortable, and general restlessness. Nap during the day if you can, and don't feel bad about doing this. I'm a big fan of naps, and I encourage mums to work them into their day, especially later on in pregnancy. A healthy baby cohort study in China between 2012 and 2014 found that afternoon napping and frequency of afternoon napping during late pregnancy were associated with reduced risk of low birth weight babies. So what I'd take from this study is that napping is probably very good for your baby too. Napping has a range of health benefits for you. Even if you don't have insomnia, they can help to improve mood, alertness, and overall performance. If you get napping, you're in good company. Albert Einstein, Winston Churchill, and his wife, and John F. Kennedy are all known to have taken regular afternoon naps. Plus, if you aren't good at napping, it's an opportunity to master the skill, one that will come in handy in those early newborn days when most parents survive on naps after many broken nights' sleep. There are a few types of naps. Planned nap, for example, preparation for if you want to stay up later in the evening. Emergency nap, if you're exhausted and have to stop for a nap. Habitual nap, which you take around the same time each day. Your nap will reflect your lifestyle and whether or not you've started maternity leave, for example, as you can be more flexible at this time. For most people, the best time for a day nap is around 2 p.m. after lunch when your blood sugar level is stable. If you nap too late in the afternoon, it may interfere with your nighttime sleep. Napping is also an individual thing, so a bit of trial and error might be needed. To help with relaxation and getting off to sleep, and if you have the budget for it, you could try reflexology. So many women say that it's a game changer. Opt for someone that specialises in pregnancy. The Association of Reflexologists website can point you in the right direction for your local reflexologist specialising in pregnancy, who will be qualified and insured. Brain changes. As with every part of your body, your brain also goes through changes during pregnancy. Your brain is changing and new circuits are forming, so don't be surprised if you are a bit forgetful or struggling with stuff you would normally get on with. Science is only just uncovering the huge changes your brain goes through. Researchers in Barcelona and Leiden universities scanned pre-pregnant and postnatal women's brains. They found that pregnancy alters and fine-tunes the outer layer of grey matter in the brain. From the brain scans alone, it was possible for the researchers to pick out women who had had babies. Women who experienced the most brain changes reported strong bonds with their babies. Researchers and neuroscientists believe this is because they are more sensitive to their baby's facial expressions, hands, and smell. More research into the effects of these changes is needed to be clear on this, though. It's worth knowing that research about the pregnancy brain shows that changes have no overall effect on work performance and can help you with decision-making as your brain is becoming fine-tuned to better read the facial expressions and body language of your colleagues or clients. It is thought that you become more in tune in order to be more attentive. If you're a first-time mum, these changes are more significant as the circuitry is being set up. You are evolving into a mum. In the third trimester, the part of the brain that is responsible for recognising and responding to fear, the amygdala, is sensitised to help us have a heightened awareness and our threat response is activated. This is so that you can look after yourself and your baby. It's an evolutionary defence mechanism. If you have a family pet and she becomes a mum, you may find that she changes and responds differently or becomes stressed if you go near her newborn babies. This is the amygdala at work. And humans are similar. Braxton Hicks. Named after British gynaecologist John Braxton Hicks, these irregular tightenings can be felt from as early as 24 weeks, especially if you have been pregnant before. You probably won't be aware of them so early on in your first pregnancy, though. They're just practice runs for labour and are thought to also help with toning the walls of your uterus. They tend to start during physical activity, at the end of the day, after sex, or when you're dehydrated. Lasting about 30 to 60 seconds, the tightenings begin at the top of your uterus and gradually spreads down. They're not painful and are perfectly normal. Don't worry if you don't feel Braxton Hicks, as not all women do. If they are painful and regular, then they are possibly not Braxton Hicks and more like real labour. Time to call your midwife. Diastasis recti. It's common for the two muscles that run down the middle of your stomach to separate during pregnancy. This is called diastasis recti. The amount of separation varies and can increase if you are having twins, and usually with the more babies you have. It happens because your uterus pushes the muscles apart, making them a bit longer and weaker. There is a lot that you can do postnatally to help bring them back together, but during pregnancy, it is important to prevent the separation from getting worse, so avoid doing crunches or sudden sitting up movements during the second and third trimesters. Getting out of bed by rolling onto your side rather than sitting upright also helps to protect your muscles. You do not want to do any sudden movements that require you to isolate the abdominal muscles in any way. Pelvic girdle pain, PGP. Pelvic girdle pain affects about 1 in 5 women, and it's an umbrella term for pain surrounding the entire pelvic region. The pain tends to increase towards the end of the second trimester and into the third due to the increasing weight of your baby. Unfortunately, because PGP is caused by pregnancy hormonal changes, ligament and skeletal changes, and the weight of your baby, the main cure for PGP is having the baby. The good news is that pain resolves after birth for most women, and there are always ways that you can prevent and manage it. Some women start to experience symptoms as early as 24 weeks, and if that is you, then it is important to see a specialist women's health physiotherapist as soon as possible. They can provide you with tailored exercises and manual therapy techniques to help relieve symptoms. They can also advise on other management strategies such as a maternity belt or taping for support. It's not a one-rule-fits-all with PGP, so you need to get specialised advice if it's come on early and is worsening quickly. Your GP or midwife can refer you to a specialist on the NHS. Do try and get in early, as there's often a waiting list. Lastly, doctors can prescribe pain relief, but bear in mind that these are often opioid-based and will cross the placenta, so your baby will get a bit of the drug. If you are taking opioid-based painkillers for an extended period of time, your baby may need to be monitored after birth, as they can be affected by this. The Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists, RCOG, recommend that the lowest doses of opioids should be taken for the shortest time possible. To help you prevent any PGP and reduce the need for painkillers, there are some really simple things you can do. The difficult part is remembering to do them, as most of us are creatures of habit. Avoid standing on one leg. For example, sit down to put on trousers. Avoid heavy lifting or twisting. Try to keep knees together when rolling in bed. Keep weight even on both legs when standing and when getting up from a chair. Sleep with a pillow between your knees, if you're lying on your side, to keep your hip and knee in line. If you have a job where you are sitting down most of the day, it is important that you get up every hour and walk around to reduce any tension and keep your joints lubricated. If you work for a company, it's worth asking if they will get you a chair or a coccyx wedge to support your lower back. If you work from home, have a look at your options online. They aren't too pricey, but they can make a big difference to your posture and therefore your pain. Another thing that I find that helps women who drive or have a long commute is the bin bag trick. Glamorous, I know. Pop a plastic bin bag on your seat so you can keep your legs together as you get in the car, and then swing around smoothly, rather than have to keep opening your pelvis and unevenly distributing weight. Making little things easier each day and being gentle with your body can help you avoid a future build-up of pain. Posture during pregnancy. Your center of gravity and posture change during pregnancy due to your increasing bump. Posture matters in pregnancy, as your changing body will impact on your center of gravity. Some women say they become clumsy and slightly off balance, so it's a good idea to think about your footwear, wearing supportive shoes, etc. And be aware of your posture. Poor posture may lead to back pain too, so here are a few things to think about. Stand tall is the general rule. If you stand and walk tall, you'll feel more stable and less tired. Avoid hollowing or arching the small of your back as you stand or sit. Instead, lengthen your lower back downwards and feel how your tailbone is slightly tucked under. Get into the habit of keeping your pelvis tilted like this, and this will encourage your baby to move into the optimal fetal position, OFP. When lifting or bending, imagine you have a hinge at your hips and let your knees bend. Let your legs do the work rather than your back. Avoid slouching. Use an upright chair that supports your spine and make it comfortable with cushions to support you. Slumping into the sofa may be comfortable to start with, but as your bump grows, you will need to think about keeping your hips higher than your knees to encourage your baby into the OFP for birth. When sitting, keep your feet flat on the ground. Switch chairs if you need to, or put your feet on a book. Sit upright when driving, and use a wedge or cushions to keep your hips higher than your knees. Don't cross your legs when seated. Later in pregnancy, lie on your side, preferably left, with a pillow under your head and another under the bent knee of your upper leg. This is really helpful when you find it difficult to get comfortable in bed too. Learning how to hand express. If you're planning on breastfeeding, then learning how to hand express is a great skill to learn about if you have time now. There is a lot going on when your baby arrives, so giving this some thought now can be really helpful. You can even harvest some colostrum ready to have an extra supply if your baby needs it. Your body is making colostrum, first milk, aka liquid gold, from as early as 16 weeks in your pregnancy, but it is not safe to start hand expressing until you're 36 weeks because it is thought that breast stimulation may help to bring on labour. Colostrum is packed with infection-fighting properties. Having your own mini milk supply at the ready before baby arrives is great if your baby doesn't breastfeed well in the first few days, a little sleepy, or if you're taking beta blockers to control high blood pressure. You can also give your baby your own milk to prevent or to treat things like low blood sugar or jaundice. Women with diabetes are often advised to harvest colostrum because their babies are more at risk of having low blood sugar. But the benefits of just knowing how to do this ahead of time will help most women, as you will have enough to learn and do when your newborn arrives. A note for diabetic mums. Controlling and stabilising your blood sugars in pregnancy is vital for optimum health for both you and your baby. It will reduce the risk of you becoming unwell and reduce the risk of your baby having low BMs after birth and needing further input. Some hospitals have a policy, especially for antenatal expression. Your midwife should be able to give you small sterile bottles, syringes, and other containers with ID labels to save your colostrum if you want to give it a go. You can then freeze and store it at home, and your midwife will advise you on this. When I say mini milk supply, I really mean mini. Getting 1 mL of colostrum is a massive achievement. A newborn baby will usually only need a few millilitres of colostrum for a first satisfying feed. If you hand express regularly, about 3 times a day, you'll start to build more of a milk supply. You only need to do this for 5 minutes. Go easy and be gentle on yourself. If you are at risk of preterm labour or have other complications, like a cervical suture in place, it may not be safe to do this, so talk to your midwife first. How to express colostrum. It is worth getting the hang of expressing colostrum even before baby arrives. If you try expressing and nothing comes out, please don't worry. This can happen, and not everyone is able to get milk out during pregnancy. On the other hand, some women leak milk in pregnancy. Both are normal. Simply having listened to this and knowing how to hand express may help you once your baby has arrived. 1. Make sure you've got clean hands. You'll need to have a sterile syringe ready. As mentioned, your midwife should be able to give this to you. 2. Get warm, comfy, and relaxed. Maybe have a bath or pop a warm flannel on your breasts. 3. Give yourself a gentle massage to help milk flow. 4. Create a C shape around the nipple with 4 fingers under the breast and the thumb towards the top. Your thumb and fingers should be about 2 to 3 centimetres away from the base area around the nipple. Don't squeeze your nipple. 5. Use your thumb and index finger to gently squeeze. Release the pressure and then repeat, creating rhythm. This should not hurt. Try not to slide your fingers over the skin, as this can cause some bruising and pain. If the colostrum doesn't come out, try moving your fingers slightly closer to your nipple or further away. It may take a little bit of experimenting to find out where's best for you. We all have different sized nipples and areola. Get to know your own anatomy. 6. Collect your colostrum with the sterile syringe. Colostrum is really concentrated and will usually come out drop by drop. At first, you may only get a few drops, but with practice and time, you should get more. 7. When the drops start to slow down, move your fingers around to try a different section of your breast, but make sure you are still a little way from your nipple. And 8. When the flow from one breast has slowed, swap to the other breast. Remember, you are not alone. Although at times the symptoms of pregnancy can make you feel like you are alone in what you're going through, remember, you are never really alone. Millions of women have felt how you do right now. Midwives, doctors, yoga teachers, physiotherapists, friends and family are all there for you too. Also, your baby is with you all the time. You are never really alone. As difficult as some of these symptoms can be to deal with, also remember that by the end of your pregnancy, your body has achieved incredible things to grow your baby. Your bladder has become a trampoline, as your baby's head is bouncing around on it. Your lungs have changed shape. Your boobs have started making milk. Your blood volume has increased by up to 50%. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Scientists have been able to create machines and replicate just about anything, but no one has ever been able to invent a fully functioning womb because it's so sophisticated and complicated. Incubators are the closest thing that we have, but they aren't a patch on you. Key points. Remember, you're not just growing a baby, but you're also growing an incredibly complex and unique organ, the placenta, too. Remember your sacred circle and do what you need to get by. You may experience various symptoms in pregnancy, but your body is growing another human and needs to make a lot of changes. It knows what it's doing. Your brain changes significantly so you can respond better to your baby's cues. You are not alone. There are a range of experts, midwives, and doctors to help advise you. Yoga breathing in pregnancy. Yoga breathing can be done anywhere and any time you need or want to relax. If you can, find a quiet place. This is ideal, but don't worry if you can't, just do the best you can. The practice can be done lying down in early pregnancy, but when you get to around 20 weeks, make it a sitting practice as the weight of the baby can interfere with your circulation when in a lying position. You can do this during a break at work, while waiting for an appointment, or at home before sleeping. Using yoga breathing can help with insomnia, nervousness, and encourages the body to calm down, leading to a calmer and clearer mindset. The entire body is affected by simply breathing mindfully. My mum Julie is a yoga for pregnancy teacher and has been practicing yoga for over 30 years. She has taught me a lot about using yoga to relax and manage times of personal difficulty, change or self-doubt, and she's helped me write this section. You can use these breathing techniques anytime during pregnancy or add them to your bedtime routine, whatever works for you. Yogic breathing simply involves deep, comfortable breaths. The in-breath is slow, smooth, and deep. Begin with the breath in the abdomen and then feel the chest starting to expand outwards and upwards. Keep feeling it right up to the top of the lungs. Allow the out-breath to be equally smooth and slow. Continue with a few more in- and out-breaths, or rounds or cycles, until you feel the pattern of your breath has become like the swell of the sea. Do not strain or try too hard. Stay relaxed throughout. Lengthening the out-breath. This very simple technique is great for relaxation. All you're aiming to do is make your out-breath longer than your in-breath. Lying or sitting, take your awareness to your breathing without trying to change it or make any judgment. Keep the awareness for a couple of minutes and then begin to make your out-breath slightly longer. Continue to lengthen the out-breath, and before you know it, in the in-breath has also become longer. Your breathing will have become slower, smoother, and more relaxed. Keep your awareness on your breathing, and if your mind wanders, try saying mentally, "I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out." Start by practicing this for about 10 minutes each day, preferably in the morning before you start your day. If you can't practice in the morning, set aside some time somewhere in the day or evening to do this. If you are able to extend your practice to 15 to 20 minutes, it will become a useful part of your routine, and your baby will also really enjoy the benefits of your relaxation time.